This one's personal. Okay, not as personal as when I got to talk to Willie Mays on the phone a couple of months ago, but this one's about Gil Hodges, and just before I was born, my parents lived in Brooklyn for some of the time that the Dodgers, including Gil Hodges, were the stars flickering over fabled Flatbush.
Here's the pitch. Fly ball to deep center field. Backboard goes Wells way back, 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 and forget it. It's a home run for Hodges.
Jackie Robinson, Pee Wee Reese, and Duke Snider also played for those Dodgers, and they're all in the Hall of Fame. Leo Durocher managed them for a time, and he's in there too. Hodges isn't, which Mort Zachter, for one, regards as an injustice. He's the author of Gil Hodges, A Hall of Fame Life. And when we spoke recently, Mort Zachter wanted to make sure that I understood why the other Dodgers called Gil Hodges the Needle, for his wicked, if well-concealed, sense of humor. Zachter's particularly fond of an illustrative tale in which Hodges rid himself of a fellow offering unsolicited batting advice. The place, Los Angeles. The time, 1958, the season after the Dodgers had changed coasts. The advisor, Hollywood makeup artist Jack Barron. When Hodges couldn't take any more of Barron's witless advice, he handed the fellow a bat, said, "Show me," and sent Barron up to hit against Sandy Koufax.
The first pitch was a P. That's what hitters called it because that's what the ball looked like when Sandy Koufax was throwing it. Jack Barron didn't see the ball whiz past him. Koufax threw again, another P. The bat never left Barron's shoulder. Then, without saying a word, Barron stepped out of the batter's box and handed Hodges back his bat. The Dodgers doubled over in laughter. Jack Barron never offered Gil Hodges hitting advice again.
Zachter calls Hodges one of the great home run hitters of his era. He also won the first three gold gloves awarded to first basemen.
But in terms of persona, when he was a kid, 19 years old, just being recruited out of Indiana to come play for the Brooklyn Dodgers, the scouting report, the very first words were, "Nice guy." By all accounts of all the research I did, he was a self-effacing man who had his priorities straight, who preferred not being in the limelight. He really was a nice guy.
The first man to manage Hodges in the majors was the aforementioned Leo Durocher. Durocher was outgoing and profane. Hodges was reserved and devout. How did they get along?
They had a mutual respect because they both were incredibly knowledgeable people who loved baseball. But Durocher's focus was usually about winning and doing anything he could do to win, and he was really very self-absorbed and focused on himself. He specifically said about Hodges, if Hodges would have just blown up once, pushed an umpire around, he would have been the greatest. That quote tells you everything you need to know about what Durocher thought was important and what Hodges, his attitude was. You should treat umpires with respect because treating them like crap will only come back to hurt you.
Is it fair to say, do you think, that no man who accomplished a great deal as a ball player has been as successful at managing as Gil Hodges was?
Going all the way back, you had people like McGraw who managed the Giants and apparently had been a tremendous ball player, but we're going back over 100 years ago. In the more modern era, it's very simple. Gil Hodges hit more home runs in his playing career than anyone else who also managed a World Series team. Now, the 370 home runs he hit don't seem like much today. He's 75th now on the all-time career home run list. But when at the end of his last full season, that 1962 season with the Mets, that was the second most of any right-handed hitter. He was 10th on the all-time home run list. And all of the nine people ahead of him and about the next seven or eight behind him are all in the Hall of Fame.
Hmm. Well, you suggest in the book that Hodges isn't in the Hall of Fame in part because when his name is mentioned, the focus is on him as what you call an icon with a halo over his head, which somehow distracts people from his accomplishments as a player and as a manager. Have voters been unfair to Gil Hodges?
I think that you have to divide that in two parts. First, under the 15 years when the Baseball Writers Association of America were voting for him, he came closest to anyone who was not subsequently elected. In 10 of those 15 years, there was a first ballot Hall of Famer such as Sandy Koufax, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Henry Aaron. He had some stiff competition. And then today, with the Veterans Committee, and most people get into the Hall of Fame historically based on a vote of the Veterans Committee, the veterans naturally will vote for the guys who they were teammates with. And unfortunately for Hodges, the vast majority of people that he played with are all gone. Robinson, Snyder, Reese, fellas who I know, if they were in that room, would have put up a huge amount of support. And they had the kind of cachet where if they sat there and said, let's vote for Hodges, they would have gotten more support, I think.
Mort Sachter is the author of Gil Hodges, A Hall of Fame Life. Mort, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you.